John chapter 12, verse 27. John 12 and 27. Now is my soul troubled. What shall I say? Father, save me from this hour. But for this cause came I unto this hour. In Luke 22:14 we read, when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And in Matthew 24:36, but of that hour knoweth no man, no, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. The Lord will bless to us the reading of his precious word. There are many hours in history. This is the most important, the one that took place at Calvary. It speaks of the Christ of God. As you and I think of him, remember, for ye know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sakes he became poor, that ye through his poverty might be rich. And if you think of that which he gave up, he could say that the silver and gold are mine, and yet show me a penny. You remember that the Savior became poor, that you might be rich. It went farther. Not only did he give up the gold, he gave up reputation. He was God, but he came man, came into a world of sin. He took upon him the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself. He gave up appearance, for there was no beauty that we should desire him, and everyone here, before they came out, took much time to prepare themselves, to beautify, if you will. He gave up the very fact of a home, for every man went to his own house, but Jesus went to the Mount of Olives. There was no crib for him. Away in a manger, no crib for his bed. And something else, there was no escape. And how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? There were 3 hours of which we just read. An hour of redemption when he was rejected, despised of men. He came unto his own possessions and his own people. The Jew received him not. He was rejected. Our Lord is now rejected and by the world disowned, by the many still neglected and by the few enthroned. Is he your Lord? We think not only of his redemption and his rejection, but we think of his return. When we think of his return, we're reminded there's rejoicing. For there's a reunion coming. How bright that blessed hope Jesus will come. I had written to my brother, I'm coming out to see you. And I got word he had died. But there's a reunion coming. I held my mother in my arms when she fell to the ground and patted her cheeks and spoke, Mother, Mother. But she heard a higher voice. She went home. But there's a reunion coming. My father's last words, I shall know him, I shall know him. By the print of the nails in his hand. And the Lord took him home, but there's a reunion coming. How bright that blessed hope. Jesus will come. But even better than seeing the loved ones that have gone before, I remember going to a hospital one day and speaking to a man about the Lord's return. He had a heart attack. And as we went over the things of God, I mentioned there are 7 negatives in heaven because these are here. Because these are things that you and I understand about heaven. Then I went over there, God shall wipe away all tears, and there's no more tears. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, there shall be no more death, neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain. The former things are passed away, and there shall be no night there, and there shall be no more curse. It's interesting when it came to the curse that under the curse there was the sorrow, sweat, sword and thorns, and he became the man of sorrow. He sweat, as it were, great drops of blood falling down to the ground. He made bare his own breast to the sword of justice, and the thorns that were placed at the feet of man, they placed upon his brow. The thorns in Jerusalem that they show you are long pointed, and every other one is hooked. And that is said to be that which was the crown of thorns upon his head. They nailed my Lord upon the tree and left him dying there. Through love he suffered there for me. It was love beyond compare. It was that hour to which he came, to which he looked forward to. And yet, he said, one day the hour has come. He spoke before and he said, save me from this hour. Then the hour is at hand. But the hour of redemption was an important time in your life and mine, for without the shedding of blood, there's no remission, there's no forgiveness of sin. And therefore, it was essential that Christ not only live a perfect life, but that he die by shedding his blood. You remember again the man in the West that had committed murder and he was going to die by the electric chair? And a religious group told him that without the shedding of blood, there's no forgiveness. And instead, he went before the firing squad that he might shed his blood for the forgiveness of his sins. And nothing like that is found in the Word of God. That man by the name of Gilmore was deceived. And the sad thing is, eternally. And that was in Utah where it happened. And there's many a religion today. And they find not their doctrine from the Word of God. They know little about the hour that Christ came to when he died on the cross for you and he died for me. God gives illustrations. There are many things that you and I see and we understand far greater than that which we listen to and hear. God uses two things to tell us about the Savior. He uses the time of Noah. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be also in the days of the Son of Man. And notice this, they did eat. Is there anything wrong with eating? No. They drank. Is there anything wrong? And this is not drunkenness. And they were marrying. Is there anything wrong with marriage? No. You see, it's legitimate things that are going to cost the soul of many a man. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered into the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Job puts the insight into it when he speaks. In Job 22:17, the exact words that they said to the Lord, leave us alone, depart from us. And only Job tells you that. And that's way back, the oldest book in the entire Word of God. It tells you the reason that so many lost their soul. God was saying, come. He said it in Isaiah 1:18, come now, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. He said it in Isaiah 55:1, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters. He that hath no money, come, buy, eat. What is it he wanted? He that hath no money. That means salvation is free. That's Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And these people were not sinning as far as doing that which was wrong until you get into the depths of the thought of marriage. They were disesteeming marriage. They were getting out of marriage. And that made the big difference. And so God was speaking. And in Matthew 24:36, it went on to say, but of that exact day and hour knoweth no man. No, not the angels of heaven, but my Father only. But as the days of Noah were. What was that? Gross immorality. Do we have it today? I was looking and finding many of the things that were spoken of that you and I could look to. And look for. Remember, when it came to the hour of redemption, already prophesied in Psalm 22:16, it said, they pierced my hands and my feet. He was coming to that hour that his hands and feet would be pierced. He said in Isaiah 55:6, Isaiah 50 and 6, pardon, that they were going to pluck the very hairs from his cheeks when his hour came. But from that track, he turned not back. It spoke and told of the very place of his birth and the manner of his birth. All of these things were foretold because he was coming to an hour, the hour of redemption. Without the shedding of blood, no forgiveness, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. And the song they're singing in heaven is not what church I joined, not if I was baptized, not if I gave a tenth, but they're singing unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. There are people that misunderstand that. A young Canadian girl went to meeting after meeting, and she was waiting for the time when they would have the ritual when they washed someone in the blood of the Lamb. You see, the work of salvation has been done. And Satan is going to try to mystify everything that's in the Word of God. But it's so plain that even a child can understand according to the Bible. Oh, there are deep hidden things. But when it comes to that hour of redemption, hark, 'tis the blow of the hammer swung, lo, they are nailing my Lord to the tree. And the cross they upraise as the multitude gaze on that blessed man of dark Calvary. I've mentioned in the past that the Lord gave me the privilege 5 times of going over to Israel. And you remember it said that these various cities were going to be destroyed and then they were going to be inhabited again? Now, for many years, Ashdod, Ashkelon, Dan, Bethany, all of these were destroyed. It appeared that it was going to be desolation forever, but the Lord made a promise. Israel was going back to those cities. And I had the privilege of visiting where 100,000 were, and more, from city after city. And as God promised, it came true. God has made many promises in His Word. One thing is certain, He's coming. Again, perhaps you remember hearing read the names of the children. Remember that it speaks about Asher dipped his foot in oil? Well, if you dip your foot in oil, you leave a mark. But it is said that underneath that territory that was given to Asher, shaped like a foot, right underneath is the oil well that's going to make Israel wealthy. 2 different times on 2 different trips, I went and saw the well. Now, the first one they dug was in the military base for protection. Then they realized that the oil appeared to be outside. And now, that well is down almost 3 miles. For a while, as they put down their various casings, they melted. Now they have found a metal that can endure. The seismograph that was taken shows the largest oil field that has been known in history. Soon it will belong to Israel. But you know what's going to happen when they get the oil. Well, here's what is meant by the names of all the children of Asher. Asher dipped his foot in oil. Now, Asher, if you can imagine, had 43 children. Now, he lived for a long, long time. And here's the meaning. A business association will come together and sink a shaft in Asher, the territory that God gave to Asher, using a cutting tool for cutting hard formation, and will go through a mountain or a high place and will pierce the seal, and liquid pitch will come forth as a man vomiting. Now, there was a great discrepancy when oil was to be found that the rabbi said, we make our wealth on olive oil. But then when they went back and discovered that there is a linguistic school between Jerusalem and Bethlehem, and while these rabbis were mocking those who were digging the well, they said, we'll go down to the school and we'll come back and let you know for sure. But you're wasting your time. The end of that sentence is, first, and Asher will be able to lend to his brothers, and Israel will become a preeminent nation. Now that's the meaning of the names of those boys, those sons that Asher had. Asher dipped his foot in oil. The oil well is about to come forth, and when it does, remember, Russia's coming down. China's coming down. Ethiopia's coming down. Nation after nation are going to come down to take the goods, not just oil. But in 1 year, $7 billion worth of produce and equipment was shipped out of Israel, little Israel. And that's why these nations are coming down. She has everything in that small little settlement of land which God gave her, and the Arabs are trying to take away. And the peacemakers, including our own man from Washington, unheeding the word of God, are seeking a settlement which is contrary to the word of God. Enough is said of that, because so many remarks could be brought out that I don't want to say. But it's sad when we have a ruler of a nation who is going contrary to the will of God. It's not the first. But then it went farther. If I'm looking for the Savior, my great-grandparents were looking for the Savior. My grandfather was looking for the Savior. But you know, there was something that had to happen before the Savior would return. They looked eagerly. But do you know what had to happen? Israel had to become a nation. In 1948, Israel became a nation. She then became an exceeding great army and is listed today as one of the four greatest armies in the world. And she said to the United States, if you can give us money, we will make the product. They take our tank and they examine it carefully and they remake it. And it is one of the best in the world when they finish. They take our guns and examine them carefully and they remake them. And they're far better than any nation that has. They take the airplanes which we sell them and they go over and over and they modify them. And they're better than any other nation. Israel, God's people, is being protected by God. I mentioned the waste cities were going to be brought back. There was something that had to be done, and that was a pure language, because in the sacrifices, in the offerings that would be made, there had to be the shekel. Now that was done away with for many years. Now the shekel is back. They're all ready to offer. They're prepared now to build the temple. Now, for years, when I first went over, Israel was telling us God's going to send an earthquake, do away with the Dome of the Rock, do away with that place where Abraham is said to, or not Abraham, but they have another who is risen from that very place, where the rock. That's where Abraham offered Isaac. That's where Mohammed is said to have ascended. And do you know somebody reached out and got the tail of his horse as he ascended to go to heaven? And they have the hairs of the horse there for you to feel and examine, if you can imagine something that intelligent. And the man who tells you all about it says, you know what's interesting? When he arose, he went up dead. When Christ arose, he went living. He's coming back living. He lives today. And he's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. Israel is a nation. Israel is one of the exceeding great armies. And Israel now has the offering material that she can go forth. Another thing about Israel. In Amos chapter 9, it tells us, behold, the day shall come, saith the Lord, that the plowman shall overtake the reaper. Now, the first time I went, I stood on the mountaintop and I looked down, and there's the mosquito-infested desert. But way down the far distance, you could see them plowing. They were harvesting. Then I went back again and looked, and they were coming closer. And they had a huge field of crops. And the last time I went, within 1 foot of all of the fences, it's all harvesting. Until today, she is one of the leading exporters of the world. And the plowman is overtaking the reaper. And when you look out, they're plowing here and they're reaping here. And right down the field, the plowmen are there and they're getting 3 crops a year. They have found the secret and God gave it to them. They are God's people. And if you're redeemed by precious blood, you are one of God's people. But had it not been that the Savior came to that hour, for this cause came I unto this hour. What? To redeem you, to pay your debt, and to pay mine. The wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The desert is blossoming. God's prophecies are true. The Savior has died. He now lives, and the hour came, and the hour is gone, and then he leaves something for you. In the hour of redemption, he was rejected. He was despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. Those whom he loved turned their back upon him. And that's why today he's seeking those who profess faith and love in him to continue on faithfully until he comes. You continue in the word. The first thing, redemption. And then the signs of his return. The Savior is going to return. He brought it out clearly. No man knoweth the day nor the hour. Not the angels, but only the Father. And you know, all of these prophecies are over now. Oh, it speaks about the ravenous birds are going to come. They're going to devour the carcasses. There's going to be a huge battle. Did you know in 3 months, 620,000 buzzards alone of one kind flew over Israel? 620,000. More airplanes have been lost in Israel through birds than in any war. That is the migration path that they take, Africa, right on down. So God's word was true. The birds are already there, waiting for that huge battle when all of the carcasses, horses, animals, men, all of the warriors, the birds are ready. God's ready. Are you? That hour. Remember when he spoke of an hour of remembrance? We're prone to forget. Our minds are so occupied today in the jet age that it's very difficult to keep something on your mind. Before I get out of bed, the phone starts to ring. Will you come? We have about a dozen right now from the Bahamas, all with cancer. Cancer behind the eye, cancer in the base of the skull, pancreatic cancer, all kinds of cancer. And whatever happens, it seems that it's all locating in that one area of the Bahamas, in Abaco. And these people are coming over. Is it a pestilence that God's allowing to bring man closer to himself? Now, with God, all things are possible. God is the healer, and he can if he desires, or I wouldn't be here. But God is using it, and lest we forget, he gave us that remembrance. He gave the bread to tell us of the body of the Lord. He gave the cup that he might remind us it's a symbol of his blood. For without the shedding of blood, there was no remission, no forgiveness. And you and I, according to the word of God, Acts 20:7, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples were gathered together to break bread, Tommy mentioned not the first day of month or the year, but the first day of the week when the disciples were gathered together to break bread. In Matthew, Mark, and Luke, it tells you historically how it began. The Lord Jesus was the originator. When it came to 1 Corinthians 11, it said very clearly, I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you, this do in remembrance of me. Then he goes farther. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as oft as ye drink it, in remembrance of me. For as often as ye eat this bread and drink this cup, ye do show, preach, proclaim the Lord's death till he come. There's rejoicing in that hour. If the critic starts to say, well, it's remembering the Lord in his death, not his sufferings, Peter straightens that out. The sufferings of Christ and the glory that should follow. You cannot get away from the sufferings of Christ and the death of Christ. They are harmonious. They were planned. And they were carried out by men and women like us. Back in Genesis, every imagination of the thoughts of the heart was only evil continually. That's man that God had made. He was the creator. And man, his creation, turned against him. And he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities, and the chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. He made the forest whence there sprang the tree on which his body hung. He died upon a cross of wood, yet made the hill on which it stood. And he said, For this cause came I unto this hour. Then when the hour was come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And it's similar to that portion of Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you, learn of me. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. Take my yoke upon you. And here the Savior is present. And he longs that you and I would meet with him. And he calls, gather my saints together unto me. What's not the great congregation of the numerics, as many would like to have today? He said, gather my saints together unto me. It's saints because of their holiness. It's saints because they were separated from the world unto him. They took the name of Christ. And if you examine the word Christian, C-H-R-I-S-T-I-A-N, I am nothing but he for whom he died. And he did die, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. And so we can thank God today for that hour of redemption and rejection. We can thank God today for the hour of remembrance. And we sing, Savior, we remember thee, thy deep woe and agony, all thy suffering on the tree. Savior, we adore thee. And then for that hour of which he speaks that no man knoweth, he's coming back again. How bright that blessed hope. Jesus will come. Let us our heads lift up. Jesus will come. No more sickness. No more pain, tears, nor night. We shall see his face. That was the positive. The seven negatives were clear, but the positive is, and they shall see his face. The Lord bless his word and help us to ever remember that hour and the man of the hour. Help us to ever remember him in the breaking of bread, the drinking of the cup, faithfully until he come. Help us to remember that hour that's coming that only the Father knows, and it could be today. Prophecies fulfilled. The Savior is longing for his bride, of which you and I are part, and soon we'll be gathered home and sing that eternal song. The Lord bless you, bless his word. Shall we pray? Our Father, we thank thee for him, thy beloved Son. We thank Thee for the soon coming day when we shall see His face. But we thank Thee most of all for the hour of redemption and for the Spirit of God that convicted us of our sins. And for turning our eye to Him, behold the Lamb of God which taketh away the sin of the world. There was none other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the door of heaven and let us in. He loved us unto death. He paid our debt. Now we love Him because He first loved us. We'd ask You to bless Thy word, bless Thy people, comfort those who need Thy comfort. Thou art the great physician. Lord, draw very near. Heal where it's Thy perfect will. Grant we all may have one desire. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, today. In His own precious name.